Worship the Lord for a few moments. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy is your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you're a first-time guest here at Calvary Gospel Church, we just like to welcome you here today. And we have a small card we'd like you to fill out. It's a couple points of information. You could turn that in at the kiosk in the back. And if you're visiting with us online, there's a bit.ly link there that you can see that would take you to the same exact thing, except for online. And so we just welcome you here today. We're so glad you're here worshiping with us today. We have a few giving options. You may be seated. We have a few giving options today. You can give online at on our website at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can give in person if you want to just drop off your offering in the offering box at the kiosk. That'll be fine. You can also send in a check by mail to 5301 Commercial Avenue, or you can join us on our Church Center app and give on the app through mobile giving. Anybody here participating on the app? Raise your hand if you've downloaded the app. Raise your hand high. Anybody enjoying being connected to their various connection groups and ministries? It's been an awesome time seeing these different groups use the communication structure. And folks are giving on the app. It's working very well for a church. And we encourage everyone to go onto your mobile device and download that app so we can better serve you as a church, but also connect in greater ways. Amen. Tonight, we have one announcement. We're having a men's ministry service tonight at 7 p.m. We're doing this every single month through 2022. And we have some very special speakers today. Tonight, we'll have Brother Jordan Powell will be speaking to us. Woo! Where's he at? Oh, there he is. Kelvin Wells. Woo! And Brother Marvin Renvick. Woo! So we kind of changed the format of men's ministry. We're having a lot of men speak to us and just hearing from our own fellowship inside, from the trying to get the men to out of pews and into circles. Amen. And being influencers in the circles at church, but also in their communities. Amen. And so we're just excited for tonight. We'd like to go to the Lord in prayer right now. If you could just stand with me. We have some very serious needs in our congregation. Sister Thompson's here tonight, or today, and she's been dealing with the cancer and other situations going on in her life, and we just want to lift her up in prayer. Anyone else experiencing anything else in their lives, we have a massive member care system and prayer circles, and that's super active, and we're just glad, and sometimes we can't present all of those needs to you from the pulpit. It would take half of a sermon to probably talk about everything, but if you're here today with one of those needs, would you just raise your hands to the Lord, faith believing? Do you see someone here near to you? Would you just reach over, maybe touch them on the shoulder or grab them by the hand and just pray with them, faith believing that God today could do a miracle, that he could touch and do a work that only God can do. We're going to believe right now in the name of Jesus Christ that he's going to come into this sanctuary and physically touch bodies, physically touch minds, physically touch financial situations. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would come to us today, Lord. Visit upon your church here in Madison, Wisconsin. Touch the members of this congregation, Lord. We ask you to bless them, Lord Jesus, to touch upon them, Lord God, to meet their needs, O God, to bless them, O God, to heal their bodies, O God, to administer, Lord God, counsel, Lord God, where counsel needs to be put in place, O God. Let the supernatural happen. Let miracles, signs, and wonders happen today, God. We believe you, Lord Jesus. We put our trust in you, Lord Jesus, today, God. We hope, our hope is in you, Jesus. Hope in you alone, God. We lift you up as our King and our Lord, God, but also as our Savior, Lord Jesus. Be the Lamb of God, oh Lord, today. Let your blood be applied, oh God. Let the healing, God, virtue flow into this congregation, Lord. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to just visit us, oh God, in a supernatural way today, God, to bless us in the rest of the service, oh God, to help us, oh God, to encourage us, oh God, to lift us up and edify, Lord, the church today, Lord. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Just worship with us. You know, just remain standing. Would you just worship with the choir today as we Lift up the Lord and worship. Amen.
The atmosphere has changed. Nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting for the mention of the name. The Spirit is moving. It's burning like a flame. Healing the broken by the one we proclaim. Raise it up. Fill the sky. Chains will fall. Mountains move. We lift him high. Speak the name. The name above all other names. Speak.
Fill the sky. Ooh. Praise the Lord, church.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
There's such a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place today. If you have come here in need, we have a God that is here to answer that need. And we live in a messed up world. And things are rapidly closing. And now is not the time. I've said this, I just keep saying it. Now is not the time to decide you want to get in a different boat. If you're not in the boat, now's the time to get in the boat. Now's the time to dig in. Now's the time to determine what you believe and why you believe it. Because there's going to come a day when you're going to show up at this church and it just may not have the number of people in it. Because we'd be gone. It'll be here. The building will be here. But the power and the presence that you feel today will not be. It's hard to imagine a world without the presence of God. But that day is coming. It's coming very soon. And we wonder, how can humanity turn and become so barbaric? Simply because the presence of God is no longer in the hearts of man. It's going to be a mess. But God, while we're here, God has given us power and has given us authority over the enemy of our lives. We've been doing a series on the power of your gifts, talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We did a series few months ago on the fruit of the Spirit. What can fruit do for you? These are very, very much intertwined. So you can be seated today. I have a passage we're going to read. This is our third lesson in this series. We're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read just a portion. I'm going to kind of bounce around a little bit, and I'll let you know when we're bouncing. We're going to read through verse 6 and then skip to verse 25. Paul is addressing the church in Corinthians. He also addressed the church in Rome. He also addressed the Ephesians concerning many of these gifts of the Spirit in which we call them. But now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be informed. He's basically saying, I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact. You need to know this. You need to learn this. But it's not just for a head knowledge to know and to learn. You learn this and then you apply this. It's something that is made to apply. You know, when you were pagans, when you were lost, you were led astray to mute idols. However you were led, therefore I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So no matter what gift you have, whether it's a gift of the Spirit, a gift of service, no matter what activity that you are involved in, it's the same God who empowers them in everyone. So the same gift that Brother Kasky has, or the same gift that James Hawk has, or the same gift that Sister Jane Braisman has, it all comes from the same God. Brother Kasky doesn't produce his own gift. The hawk doesn't decide one day, I'm gonna exercise this gift. Sister Jane doesn't go online and order a gift and have it sent to her home and says, I'm now gifted, and this comes from God. I don't give it. I don't remove it. It's a gift from God. You are now, it says, it goes in, he says that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. This ties into our Acts 2:42. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Then he goes and he asks a series of questions. He says, are all apostles? So I can ask that same question here today. Is everyone here an apostle? Is everyone here a prophet? How about teachers? Are we all teachers? Do we all work miracles? Do all possess the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now we break this down. We begin to see this even more clearly as we begin to break down Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. Now there are varieties of gifts. There's a variety of gifts, church, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service. Remember that. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities or gifts, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Lesson two, we covered many of the gifts that Paul mentions in his various passages. Lesson two, we also went over the number of gifts, and it was a rather long list of gifts. And it would seem to me that spiritual gifts aren't just limited to the activities that we had listed or items in these lists. When I look at the gifts of the Spirit, when I look at the gifts that God gives to his church, he gives them to his church to operate, to empower. But when I look at these gifts and I look out across the congregation like this, I see so many different gifts and so many different individuals. I don't know if you've ever gone on public television or gone on video. You can go on YouTube, but years ago there was an artist and his name was The Amazing Ross. Anybody ever remember Ross? I remember when he first started and he came to Easttown Mall. And he would go out there and about every 60 seconds he would have a painting and he'd set them up. And it was just amazing watching him. And he could take just a handful of colors, which was one of the amazing things about his painting, because he could take a handful of colors and when it was all put on a canvas with the blending of all those colors, it was amazing at what he could do with just a few of colors. But when I look at God, how that God is the master artist, and he takes all of his church, every individual that is here today, and every one of us has our own color or perhaps colors, and he begins to take all of the colors that are available on his color scheme. Recently, I moved my train set. And some of you may say, well, that doesn't sound like a very difficult thing to do, but you have not seen my train set. It is not a train set, as I would call it. It is a railroad empire. And I recently relocated my empire. And I went to Home Depot, or went to Menards, actually, because they had Pittsburgh paint on sale. And I'm looking for a blue sky, something blue for the sky to paint on my backdrop. And I get in there, and there are literally hundreds of colors of blue. And I'm looking at the blues, and I'm like, I like this blue, but I like this blue, and I like this blue, and I like this one, and which one am I to decide? And I finally just walked away. My wife says, what are you doing? We have to pick a paint out. I said, I don't know which one to pick. She said, well, are we not going to get paint? I said, no, I'm just going to go clear my head a little bit. And I walked back, and I took a blue, and I picked it out, and I walked up to the young gal, and I said, give me a gallon of this. I don't even know what color it was. It's blue. But you see, God can take all of those colors in the spectrum. How many of you know what the colors in the spectrum are? We have some, anybody know what Roy G. Biv stands for? Remember that? It's what? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Those are the colors of the spectrum. Roy G. Biv. Now, don't forget that. Your pastor's name is Roy. My last name is Grant. Roy G. My nickname in junior high was Biv. A little skinny, scrawny guy named Bill Hershinger that had like size 14 sneakers nicknamed me Biv, and it stuck all through junior high. So remember that. So back to the colors. God is a master artist. He takes all the colors, all the gifts, all the talents of his body, and he takes them and begins to lay them out on a canvas of our life. And it's so beautiful, the colors as they blend together. And you look at it and you stare in amazement at what God can do with just a handful of colors. But you see, these colors, they create a gifting for each one of us. And that gifting of our spiritual gifts that God has given to us is as unique as our fingerprints. And we must understand this. This is very important. That we understand this. These gifts that God has given us that blend, these gifts change throughout our lives as God uses these gifts to express our faith, to strengthen the faith of those that he brings into our lives at different times in our life. Did you get that? I'll repeat this. The gifts that God has given to you today, you may not have next year. And what I'm saying is that sometimes God brings into our lives specific gifts for a specific time, a purpose, and a season. So the gifts that you may have today that you express through our faith, strengthen the faith of those that he brings into our lives at various times or different times of our lives. So God may have been given you a gift today. He may have given you a gift 6 months ago, and he wants you to use that gift today because there's someone here that needs to be a recipient of the gift that God has given you. This means that God has uniquely gifted each of us here this morning, and there's no one else like you here today. There's only one J. Henry, and there will never be another one. Good, bad, indifferent, there's one. And what God, listen, this is, we can chuckle because we can get humor, but there's, God gives us gifts, Brother Jay, and he's given you gifts, and I don't know what those gifts are. I asked you to do a little bit of a homework assignment and come up with what you thought was maybe two gifts, perhaps, that God has given you or blessed you with, and we're going to take and we're going to learn today, whatever those gifts were, how to use those gifts and begin to apply those gifts. So therefore, if we don't do what we're gifted to do, we cripple the body. So your gift, listen, it's not an excuse for disobedience to God. Most of the spiritual gifts that Paul lists, as well as the other ones that are listed in the New Testament, have corresponding commandments for all the disciples of Jesus Christ. Are we not followers of Jesus Christ? Are we not disciples of Christ? We don't always look at ourselves and say, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. I want to be Christ-like. I want to be a disciple. And the gifts are for edification. They are for building up the body of Christ. Another way to put it is the gifts God gives or has given to us are not specifically for us, but for those around us. So God didn't give you perhaps a gift, a prophetic gift, so you could prophesy on your behalf. He gives you a prophetic gift so you can use that prophetic gift to edify those that are around you. Edify, build up. The gifts are not designed for tearing down. They're designed for building up. They're not designed for correction. That's where your pastor comes in. I've known of people that have felt in times that God has used them in gifts, and they feel that the gift of tongues, the gift of the prophetics, is to be used to correct people that you don't agree with. That is not how God designed this. We are all to serve. We are all to serve. As Paul says in Corinthians, we read that in our scripture, but the same Lord, the same Spirit, there are varieties of service. This is all, the gifts are all about servitude. I'm just going to go bold here and say this, that if you're not willing to serve, you probably won't get a gift or have a gift. Because that's why you have them. That's why we have them. That means we can't opt out of being obedient to the commands by claiming that, well, it's just not my spiritual gift. God has called us all to service. All of us. And this is where the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit come together. They're designed by God to empower His church. How do you think we're going to make it through to the end of all of this? Because God gives us, He's empowering. He's seeking to empower His body. Empower us. So, listen to me. Listen closely. It's more important. This is something you might want to jot down. Okay? It's more important to use your spiritual gift than to totally understand your spiritual gift. So many times we're saying, well, God, I don't understand this, so I'm not going to do it. If God's perhaps called you to a gift of healing and you have felt you needed to go and pray with someone or for someone, and you say, God, I don't understand this, so I'm not going to use it. You're probably never going to use it because you're never going to understand it. Because I don't understand all of this. I don't understand why God works and just does all of this the way He does it. But it works out beautifully when it works correctly. So far we focused over the past two studies some important truths about spiritual gifts, but obviously that's not our final goal. Our final goal in this series is to how we discover and how we use those spiritual gifts. So 2 weeks ago I asked you to pray about and write down what you thought perhaps were a gift that you may have. Are gifts that you perhaps think God is trying to blossom up within you. I believe that as we go through life, as I said, I go through periods of life, that at certain times in my life, I know distinctively that God has used me in different gifts at different times. So these are gifts that God desires to use in you. So if you're not sure how to get all of this rolling within your life, so you may have a gift or gifts, and you may say, Pastor, I don't know how to use this. How do I get it up within me? I feel it in here, but I can't get it out here. How do I do this? Well, notice Paul states in his writings that if you're going to use the gift, it's all about service. In the gift. So I want to talk about four things. We may not get all through all four of them this morning, but I want to suggest this morning that the first thing that you start doing, if God has called you and given you a specific gift, is to start serving. Servitude. Serving. Spiritual gifts are worthless if you don't use it. Have you ever, anybody here ever tried to steer a parked car? We laugh about this. You can turn the wheel all you want to turn it. You can crank on that, but the car's not going to change directions until you put the key in the ignition and you turn the key. Some of the old cars, before power steering, they didn't have power steering. I had a few of those. And if you were driving real slow in a hot black-topped parking lot in the summertime and you had to nudge into a close perimeter parking stall, that's why I would just drive up, let off the clutch, turn it off, and let her coast to a stop. And where we landed, we landed. It ain't worth trying to steer that thing. Too much energy without power steering. Serving is your power steering in your life when it comes to using your gift. The same thing. God has a hard time directing us if we're not willing to go anywhere or start our vehicle. Once we start serving, once the ignition is on, once the key is on and there's power, then we have the ability, or God has the ability, to begin to steer our vehicle or redirect us in our paths. So in a sense, it doesn't matter where you serve at first. It doesn't matter what gift God has given you. You need to take and begin to just lay it out and serve with that gift. Certainly you may have some talents and some desires that could lead to serve in a certain area, but oftentimes the best way to get started is just to simply jump in. You ever gone up to a deep water hole and you looked in there and you've put your toe in the water and you've flung your foot around in it and kind of, as if that's going to take and, you know, I'm one of those guys that I just go up, look in, plug my nose, and in we go. You just plug your nose and jump in and say, okay, God, it's your gift. My life is in your control. Sink or swim, I'm jumping in. So once we start serving God, it doesn't matter where you serve at first. We try some different areas. And I want to encourage you to employ a couple principles. We're going to talk about and let God direct you where he wants you to be. Many of you are already serving here at Calvary Gospel Church, and I want to thank you for that service. But there are many of us that are afraid to step into the level of service that God has wanting us to step into. It's real easy to serve as an usher or a greeter or a Sunday school teacher because it's something that we are very much familiar with. It's within our comfort zone, but it's very difficult to step outside of that zone of comfort into a faith realm in which God wants us to serve and wants us to exercise in our lives. So over the years, I've seen basically a number of excuses. I started here at Calvary Gospel Church in ministry some 20 plus years ago. I lose track now over time, but I started out in the nursery classroom. That was my first assignment here. What I call in the second half of my life, or the second chapter of my life. I started in the nursery classroom because we had a young little boy that was Fragile X syndrome, and he was a little out of control at times, and I would go in only to take care of Stephen Geminder. Many of you may know Stephen Geminder. Stephen Geminder was just a real little guy. He would sit on my lap, we would color, and every Sunday it would be his picture and my picture, and we would put them on the bulletin board. And we would do Bible lesson, and a lot of times I was just the donkey, and the kids would get on your back, and you would walk around the room and acting like a donkey, and other times I was the lion, and tigers and bears, oh my, and it was all part of Sunday school. But you see, God was working, and God began to develop a gift. It wasn't ready for this, but it was willing to start at that. You follow what I'm saying? So many times we say, well, God's called me to preach. God's called me to pastor. Very seldom ever is that going to be your first assignment. Because God is going to test you to make sure that you are up for the job and that you are willing to listen to him and follow after him. So, I run into a lot of excuses. We hear this a lot. Pastor, you just don't understand. I'm just simply too busy. I'm too busy to serve. I have a job. I have a family to raise. I have a house to take care of, and I don't have time to serve. Oh, I understand that we all have seasons of life, and there have been seasons in my life where that at times I had a whole lot more responsibilities in some areas. I think now I'm will be 60 years old this year, and this is probably the busiest season of my life. I've had a business in the past, and I've had customers to take care of, but this is a bit different than that. It is a season that I am in, and many of us are in seasons. Maybe you're going to school, and you have a young family, and you have a house, and you have a yard that has to be mowed, and you have a snow that has to be shoveled, and all of these things, and it minimizes the amount of time you're able to serve at church. Notice I said minimizes the amount of time. But I want to encourage you that the more you serve and the more you give, the more God will give back to you. Did you know God can give you back time? I've prayed that in my life. I said, Lord, I've wasted 15 years of my life. I wasted. I said, God, I believe when you say you will restore the years that the worm, the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, all of those things in life that have eaten away at my time, that you will restore unto me. And I believe God is doing that and has done that. So, but my understanding of the Bible, and if this is correct, it leads me to conclude there's no such thing as a genuine, obedient disciple of Jesus Christ who is not involved in ministry or serving in any way, because this is what he commanded us to do. If you're my disciples, this is, not, like I said, I understand we go through seasons in life. But if it seems to me that if you're too busy for ministry, you're too busy to serve one another at any level, at any capacity, then maybe there are some other things in your life that you need to just simply stop doing. Did you hear that? That's kind of one of those toe steppers, okay? If you don't want your toes stepped on, get them off the floor. Another thing that we hear, and this is a cliche, I hear this a lot. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm just not qualified. This one really gets me. Because, you see, we have to understand something, that God, he doesn't call the qualified. We hear this. We've heard this. God doesn't care of your qualifications. He's willing to qualify you. He's willing to qualify you. I'm going to use a brother as an example this morning here, and I hope he's okay with this. I did not check with him ahead of time, but I remember the first day that Craig Rossing worked with me on the job. And he was a young guy, just barely out of high school. He might actually still have been in high school. And we were at a small house in McFarland. Very simple. Two-bedroom or two-bathroom ranch house. Does it get any simpler to plumb than that? And I told Craig, I said, at the end of the day, you're going to plumb this house. And he's like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know what. I said, I'm going to show you. I want to show you. So I marked everything out. I said, I'll be back in an hour. I came back in an hour. He had everything drilled out and cut out. I laid all the fittings out. I said, this is how it all goes. Here's your glue. Here's your cleaner. You know how to do all of this stuff. You've been doing it, cutting stuff for me for months. So I want you to put it together. What if I get it wrong? Don't worry about it. It's glue cleaner. It's plastic. We can cut it apart. We can fix it. It's that simple. So by the end of the day, rather, it was a very long day for Craig. Not so bad for me. But at the end of the day, I come back there, and lo and behold, Craig Rossing had plumbed his first ranch house. An upper rough is what we called it. Now, we could argue all day long that I'm not qualified to do this, but I feel strongly that if we are teachable, did you hear that? If we are teachable, God will teach anyone that is willing to follow after him. So when you say, I'm not qualified, God looks at your qualifications and says, I'm very well aware you're not qualified, but that's where I come in because I'm the master and I'm going to teach you and you're going to learn from me. This is where Jesus talks about taking my yoke upon thee and learn from me. Stick your head next to my head in this yoke and come with me. There's so much more to that passage of scripture than just yoke of oxen. He's saying, put your shoulder next to my shoulder and you stick with me and I will teach you, I will train you, I will lead you, I will take away the burden, take away the pain, the fear, the frustration. Just stick right next to me. And we're going to do this together. I never called you to do it on your own. I understand if God's called you in a gift of healing. You can't heal anybody without God's presence being there. It's God that heals. You're just a conduit in which God flows. So I don't want to hear that I'm not qualified. We talked about some of our younger church planters. I've had conversations saying, well, you don't understand. I've never planted a church. I've never pastored a church. I haven't either until 7 years ago. Now look where I am. Look where you're stuck. You can laugh about that, but understand, you put up with me and I've put up with you. It's a two-way street here, folks. God will equip you. He will give you whatever you need. He will equip you. So you say, I'm too busy. I'm not qualified. Don't panic. I'm already serving. I'm already serving. I hear this a lot. Well, I'm already serving. You know, sometimes we get comfortable in our service. We get very comfortable in our service because in our comfort, we can find some degree or another of complacency at times, don't we? Let's just be honest. I mean, we're all big people here. We're all capable of handling. Listen, anything we're comfortable with, we're usually complacent with. That's why we're comfortable with it. And sometimes God is saying, listen, I want you to exercise your gift at a deeper level. I want you to broaden your level. I want you to focus more on perhaps a different gift. So you may already be serving, but God could be calling you to another level of serving. And with that level, different level of serving comes a different level of gifting. Can we understand that? Understand that? God just set this up so smart. That way he doesn't give, pardon me, but he doesn't give a rookie Christian all of these heavy-duty gifts. Because they have to grow. God doesn't want you to fail. He wants you to succeed. I don't want you to fail. I want you to succeed. Every young man and woman and child in this church, I hope someday you are so much better and smarter than I am, and that our leadership, that you grow and continue to grow, because that's how we become better. Because God gives us a gift, and we use that gift for that specific time in our life. Remember when I made that statement? I didn't notice. I'm not still in the nursery classroom. They let me go from the nursery, Brother Simmons, to the junior high. That's where I went. I went from the nursery to the junior high. And then after the junior high level, we were asked to take over all of Sunday school. And then it was all the bus ministry, and it was all the children's and the campus ministries and all of that. You see, because as you grow, God takes that gift, and as you give it back to God in a form of service, God begins to bless that gift and says, hey, Luther, you're just right now, you're just teaching once a month. Once every 6 months, but you take that gift of teaching that I've given to you, and you utilize that gift, and pretty soon you're asked to maybe start a P7 club in your school, or you step up in your teaching, and before you know it, you're doing weekly Bible studies, and then you keep growing because you're proving to God that you're doing something with the gift He gave you. Does that not fulfill the parable of the talents? See, God just puts all this stuff together and says, I'm all of this is all connected. And then my last point, and you can stand this morning, is serve with excellence. Excellence. There was a time in my life when everything was just about service. It wasn't about service to God. It wasn't about, I'm doing this for God. I'm doing it because I was asked to do it. Sometimes we have to do that. There's nobody to do this. Would you do it? Yes. Do you feel called to do it? No, I don't feel called. I didn't feel necessarily called to be a nursery teacher, but I did it because I was asked to do it. And God took that. I wasn't the best nursery teacher, but I tried to be the best nursery teacher I could be for young Stephen Geminder. That's why I was in there. And I did my best. And as I went from nursery to junior high to the various areas of ministry that God has allowed me to oversee, I just want to do my best. There are times, my wife will tell you, it's a curse sometimes when you go to bed and you know that what you just got done doing wasn't good enough, and you get back up, you get dressed, you go back out, and you start working, and you take everything you just did apart, and you build it back the way it should have been. I have a problem with that, because I want to do my best. No matter what it's in, it doesn't always come out. Sometimes my skill level is not there, but I try to learn. I try to teach. I want to be teachable. I want to serve with excellence. When I get behind the pulpit, I want to do the best job that I can do. This is principles of the Word of God. And these are important. Otherwise, God would have never put them in His book. If it wasn't important for us to know, it wouldn't be there. But I want to give God my best life I can give Him. And I want to serve Him with excellence. So as we close out this lesson this morning, are you doing your best with what God has given you? I don't know what that is. I can't answer that question for you. Only you can answer that question. But I got to ask you, because a question has to be asked. Are you doing your best with what God has given you? And if you're not, why? Why? So as our worship team begins to sing and as we open up this altar in prayer this morning, I just want to challenge you. Those gifts that God, you feel God has given you, what are you doing with that? What are you doing with it? And if you're not doing anything, you got to ask yourself why. Why am I not doing anything with what God has given me? So go ahead, I'd like to sing. I want to open up this altar this morning.
Having these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire.
All to Jesus.
verse here I want to... See, none of this works unless we work it. Okay? So this is kind of a continuation, kind of the ending of my message here. I want to read Colossians 3:23. It says, "Whatsoever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that the Lord you will receive the inheritance of your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus." In our service, we're not serving. We're serving one another, but we're serving God. You're not doing this for Pastor Roy. You should be doing this for God and for being a servant to the body of Christ, serving one another and doing it with excellence. I want to challenge you. There's a difference between excellence and perfection. Okay? We so many times try to do it to perfection when we're not perfect. And we can never get to perfection because we're not perfect, but we can serve with excellence. So this week, your homework to take home with you is of those two gifts that I ask you to bring in your mind on a piece of paper, wherever you have them. I want you to take this next week and look for opportunities in which God can use that gift through you. Okay? You got that? You may say, well, Pastor, you know, I feel God gave me this, or there's so many different gifts. It doesn't matter if you understand it all or not. God is going to test you to find out if you're willing to use what he's given you. And if you're not willing to use it, so many times we complain, God, how come you never use me? Well, I keep giving you things to do and you won't do it. Do we not, parents, do we not use this same strategy with our children? I asked you to clean your bedroom up. You won't even keep your bedroom clean. Why do you think I should buy you a $25,000 automobile if you won't keep your room clean, which I gave to you for free? It's furnished. And you won't keep your carpets in your room clean. You're never going to keep carpets in your car clean. And we use these things, and God is no different. So I want to test our challenge for this next week. Take those gifts that God has laid upon your heart and look for opportunity to use them. Okay? And don't be afraid. Okay? We're all stepping out together. All stepping out together. God bless you. Have a blessed week. We will be back here Wednesday evening. Wednesday, we're doing our series on sticks and stones. We're going to continue on communication. So God bless you. Thank you so very much to our worship and our music team today. Awesome job. God bless you. Enjoy the beautiful weather that's coming. Yes!